Welcome to this episode of the award-winning Best of Left podcast. This is a sample of our recent bonus episode, usually only available to members. These episodes are comprised of our crew of researchers, Amanda and myself, all getting together for a roundtable discussion on topics that we find interesting. So here's a few minutes for free so you can know what all the fuss is about.
I think that maybe this is why calling it women's studies might not help this case, right? But I think there is a case to be made that brings men into conversations that they wouldn't normally put themselves into. Because when I took a women's studies class, while yes, we did talk about women's rights and history and, you know, important people and all of the political things that go into it, we also discuss men a lot. Like, they were alongside in almost every category that we discuss because they're part of the equation. And they also are oppressed by a gendered system, because in order to have oppression on one hand, you need to have something else to control the other population. I think earlier, Jay, when you said that people can identify the problem easier than they can come up with a solution, I also think coinciding with that is you can both be the oppressor and still negatively impacted by the system.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You can belong to a community that benefits and by and large still feel very much at the bottom of that, which I think, you know, when we talk about Martin Luther King Jr. and when it became super dangerous was when he brought in white working people to the conversation. Mm-hmm. Because that broadens the pool of people who are being impacted.
Coalition.
So I think that while systems can be very complex to talk about, a conversation about both how boys and girls operate under a patriarchal society and the negative sides of those, that's not a hard conversation to have. Like, you can start that pretty early, which would bring me to one of my first solutions, which is we have to like definitely put an emphasis on social emotional learning, because while yes, parents should be able to help their children talk about feelings more and implement that no matter what the gender of the child is, I think that our education system does have a role in that. And I think placing a value on knowing your own emotions, being able to communicate them in a social environment is so important. And I would definitely say, like, education wise, that's something that we could talk about pretty easily. Also, again, we can talk about these systems pretty easily. Like, when you bring up feminism, it's not that hard to include the ways that it negatively impacts men, because that's true and it doesn't take anything away from little girls listening to that. We can look around and see the ways that other people are not doing well. So if you put a name to it or you like tell us, all of a sudden that makes so much more sense.
When found out that I was going to have a daughter, a lot of people like, oh, you know, the teenagers of girls, they're just so hard. Boys are so much easier. And I think we're dealing with a whole, the reality of people thinking that boys are easier to raise than girls coming to fruition. They're not easier to raise. They're just easier to ignore. They're easier to not parent because they are so used to putting their emotions in a bottle that you don't have to deal with them. You can ignore them. They seem fine. They're fine. So instead of doing that, maybe we treat kids, they're all difficult to raise because, you know, parenting is hard and raising human beings is difficult. And the difficult part with dealing with girls is the emotional part and having conversations and dealing with those emotions. And the difficult part with boys would be making sure that they can have those conversations, making sure that they are dealing with those emotions. Because I still hear this all the time. Boys are just easier. Like, my daughter turns 6 next week, and she's got 2 boy cousins who are roughly the same age, and they're just easier to deal with. They're the most emotional kids I know. They are constantly fighting. I actually talked to their dad the other day. Like, do they talk to each other like that all the time? Like, yeah, it's tough. Like, you just gotta let them go. Like, no, you don't. You don't have to let them talk to each other like that. They are being brutal to each other, and that's not okay. And you should probably step in. But they're boys, so they can take it. They're tough, and it makes them tough. Mm-hmm. And that is the issue I think we're dealing with right now.
And if we don't deal with it, those boys are going to grow up and
pay $18,000 to go to a boot camp where they crawl around in the mud and get yelled at for being terrible to try to find their lost masculinity. Bringing us to our third article of the day, men are going to brutal boot camps to reclaim their masculinity. How did we get here from USA Today? And the idea is basically what I just described is men are so desperate to find some form of bonding relationship and emotional connection with other men that having had no luck finding that anywhere else in their life, they have signed up for man camps. Not all of them are brutal, like I just described, but you know, some are, and those are the ones that get the most hits on social media. And the tactic works in a sense. Like, I won't say it doesn't work. You know, soldiers who go to war together are bonded for life because of their experience. So yeah, that is a way to find an emotional bond with other men. The tragedy is that men are so emotionally stunted and society is so screwed up that they think that this is the only way to bond with other men. From the article, it says, though men's psychology experts are skeptical of the extreme iterations of man camps, they say the growing awareness of them points to a loneliness and need for community men face in modern society. Men are seeking out difficult experiences, says Eric Anderson, a licensed marriage and family therapist. They're seeking out groups. They're seeking out tribes. They're seeking out some sort of social bonding and sense of social capital. And they're turning to these groups that, to me, feel like they're giving people a bit of a false sense of that. Let me just take this opportunity to throw in for the third time, it is a lot easier to correctly identify a problem than to find the best proposed solution. People running these man camps, they found the problem. There's a bunch of lonely men. Those lonely men need something to do. They need to find ways to bond with other people. The way a lot of these camps are run, not necessarily the best solution.
Yeah. And oh, look at that. They might have money.
So then you find me out here. And I do have the right solution. Because reading that, I mean, it felt like a walking advertisement for the importance of co-ed sports. I don't know if anyone else had this feeling. But when I was talking about like bonding and like looking for that, I was like, oh, right. Because, you know, we gender everything in our society and we make it about competition and like just that capitalist mindset, we don't actually teach them. Even though I think people tout doing sports as, oh, you learn teamwork. Yeah, but you also learn tribalism where, yes, your team's great. You can work with them, but you can't work with any other team. And all of them are your enemies that you have to win against or whatever. The whole concept is just, it's not for actually forming those connective, vulnerable spaces. Whereas a mixing of genders where you can form friendships with everyone. And I honestly think co-ed sports would help male friendships just for the exposure of being around other genders, seeing how they interact with one another, their vulnerability and things like that, making it not necessarily about competition, but cooperation. There's just so much in that that I was like, this is the answer instead of going and being sprayed down by a hose in the face and like, I don't know. I can't imagine someone sitting there like, I'm really glad I did this. I'm enjoying it. Like, no, you're not. Like, you might afterwards think, wow, I can get through a lot of shit. But other than that, I don't know what conclusion you come to. But I do think that if they cooperated with other genders, if there was some kind of coming together, you would find exactly what you're looking for. You would find true, authentic connections. And you would be able to bring those skills into other parts of your life. I really just think this was totally for co-ed sports. I'm absolutely sold on that idea.
We got to see a little bit of that at NBA All-Star Weekend. I don't know if anybody saw Steph Curry versus Sabrina Ionescu three-point shootout. It was really cool. It was the only thing in the whole event that was worth watching. Steph Curry ended up winning 29-26. She did great. She had the same score as Damian Lillard had in his final round that won him the NBA three-point contest. So she did great. But you also got to see the backlash to this co-ed event real time, where Reggie Miller, NBA great, whose sister, one of the best basketball players ever, when she came out of college at USC, they were talking about maybe she should try to play in the NBA. This is late 70s, early 80s. versus Kenny Smith talking about how she didn't do great. She should have shot from where the girls shoot. She shot from the NBA line instead of the WNBA line. And Reggie Miller was like pushing back. And they had this really awful discussion right after this very cool event. It was just all right there. Like, this is ridiculous. This should be so much fun. But instead, now we get to talk about how Kenny Smith just full on was a misogynist and didn't know it and doesn't realize that he was, just for no reason. And if this was more normal, like Aaron was just talking about, never would have happened. It would have just been like, oh yeah, like two of the greatest shooters in the world just had a competition and the greatest shooter of all time won. But that person, not just she, but that person did great.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the story you're telling, like, why is it failing? It's like capitalism, because sports aren't just for having fun. Now you got to get good enough that when you get to high school, you can get recruited to get your college paid for. And if that's all you can do, then maybe you should go professional. That way you can make it your living.
That's it for today's free sample. There's lots more of that particular episode, as well as there being dozens of past bonus episodes that you get access to in your feed the minute you sign up as a new member. Paying members are who make this entire show possible. And so these bonus episodes are a fun way to say thanks to them for their support. In addition to those full bonus episodes, members also get bonus clips in every single regular episode, as well as there being no ads in the regular show. If you would like to be our newest member, you can sign up at bestofleft.com/support. You can use our Patreon page, or you can do it from right inside the Apple Podcast app, and links to get there are right in our show notes. And if you can't afford membership, I offer free financial hardship memberships. Just drop me an email to j@bestofleft.com and we will get you set up, no questions asked. Or again, to sign up and support the show and our ability to give away free financial hardship memberships, visit us at bestofleft.com/support. Thanks for listening.